This episode of the UAV Digest is sponsored by Corporate Service Supply and Manufacturing, a DJI Enterprise dealer providing DJI equipment and support for law enforcement, public safety, construction, and other commercial users of unmanned aerial systems. To learn more, visit the uavdigest.com/css. In by Go Engineer, provider of design, engineering, and 3D printing solutions for the aerospace and unmanned vehicles industries. To learn more, visit the uavdigest.com/goengineer. You're listening to episode 254 of the UAV Digest. I'm Max Flight in Hartford, Connecticut.
And I'm David Vanderhoof in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania. I'm home, Max, but my internet connection is dubious again tonight as we're having our usual summer thunderstorms.
Oh, yeah, ours blew through. And I tell you, David, you'll learn quickly how much you rely on power and the internet. Take either one or both of those away, and it seems like your world just comes to a stop. But I guess we're doing okay now.
We'll just take one day at a time. So we've got a lot of topics tonight. We've got an ag company acquires another ag company. Two other companies join forces for indoor surveillance drones. We've come to the point of the season of the year where mergers have occurred.
Yes, that's true.
Meanwhile, DARPA has its own ideas for high-speed indoor drones. Boeing gives up its game for autonomous flight, and GE follows suit, and surfing. So I guess we should get started. We talked about consolidation as being a theme for this year, and it looks like this week is one of those weeks. Our first story comes from NASDAQ.com. Ag Eagle Aerial Systems has agreed to acquire Agrobotics, LLC.
So we've talked about both these companies in the past. Ag Eagle, of course, offers three different fixed-wing drones for precision agriculture. They have the RX-60, a carbon fiber, kind of a rugged model. They also have two hand-launchable models, the RX-48 and the RX-47.
The RX-47 is like the RX-48. It just does not have a cellular modem for data transmission. But what makes this interesting is now we've got the hardware company acquiring the software company, which is Agrobotics.
That's right. They're a precision ag software company. They provide lots of imaging and data analysis services. So Ag Eagle plans to integrate the Agrobotics FarmLens data analysis platform into Ag Eagle's offerings. That software takes remotely sensed images and develops crop reports. So yeah, David, this just does seem like a marriage made in heaven, if you will, at least from the standpoint of the special focus that each of these companies has.
And they've created a one-stop shop for you purchase the aircraft, you'll get the software to go with it. So that's always a good selling point and compatibility, et cetera. So this is kind of an interesting way of doing it. Barrett Mooney, the CEO of AgriEagle, said, quote, "The agreement to acquire Agrobotics is a significant milestone for Ag Eagle as we look to expand our imagery and data analytics offerings. As we focus on our recently announced sustainability initiatives, we believe the FarmLens platform will provide our customers with the necessary insight to manage and support major food manufacturers and their contract farms' sustainability goals before, during, and after the cyclical growing season." He goes on to say, also with the use of customized aerial analytics solutions, along with the direct integration of major management systems, we expect this platform to provide substantial value to our customers by delivering transparent sustainability metrics and significantly enhancing crop performance. So if you were playing business bingo, you probably hit most of those buzzwords.
Now, last March, we reported that Ag Eagle had closed on its merger transaction with Energex Resources. And under that deal, Ag Eagle became a wholly owned subsidiary of Energex, and then Energex was renamed Ag Eagle Aerial Systems. Also to be traded on the New York Stock Exchange. And David, do you remember their ticker?
Yeah, it's UAVS.
That's right. You know, I've actually been following that on my smartphone as one of the stocks that I watch. It's been relatively flat for some months here, trading around $2, sometimes down to $1.75. The market cap is $18 million. Earnings per share, however, is negative at minus 19 cents. They did have some history with the stock price in the past that was much higher than what it's trading at today. But I think, you know, while we don't offer stock advice for sure on this podcast, it's sort of interesting to watch what might happen to UAVS stock as we go forward.
And they're going to have a conference call on August 7th, 2018 at 1 p.m. Eastern time. So we'll put the links to the show notes on where the conference call will be, how to hear it, and the replay on it. But wait, there's more. Another link up of two drone companies, and this is from Gizmodo. Get ready for indoor surveillance drones. And these companies are getting harder and harder to say.
Yeah, we have
Avian Sig
and SkySense. SkySense is easy, though.
Well, yeah, but Avian Sig is the first one. So they announced a joint venture to develop a fully automated indoor drone security device. Sounds a bit intriguing.
Yeah, this service is going to use automated drone, you could call them security guards, or security drones, I guess. And they would fly, again, indoors following a pre-programmed route. And they would live stream video as they fly through the building. They would flag to the operator, the person monitoring all this, flag any detected security concerns. I'm not exactly sure how that part of this would work. And then the drone would return to a charging station when the batteries ran out, which kind of brings us to why these two companies are coming together.
SkySense creates drone ports, and they're in the and we've talked about them in the past, research, development, production of charging pads and drone ports. So Avian Sig is a Spanish information and communications technology company, and they produce smart drones for indoor navigation. So you've got the drones and you need to recharge them. So you have SkySense and creepy science fiction stalking drones. that's really what I came away with on this article was creepy science fiction stalking drones.
They're watching you, David, or they could be in the future. Avansig, they have positioning algorithms that let the drones locate themselves in indoor environments, of course, without GPS, because that's not going to be available indoors particularly. And they note on their website that they use different techniques for this indoor positioning. They use scanning lasers and reference cartography. Also, they do some triangulation with active beacons, as well as 3D artificial vision, which sounds kind of interesting. These drones sense obstacles, and then they react to avoid colliding with them. So that's some interesting technology there.
Creepy stalking drones.
How about fast creepy stalking drones?
Okay, well, it's even worse because it's coming from DARPA. So faster, lighter, and smarter. DARPA gives small autonomous drones a tech boost. And this is actually a press release from DARPA. And of course, we know DARPA is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, the think tank that comes up with all of the really scary things in the universe. And they have a fast, lightweight autonomy FLA program, which completed its phase two.
That's right, David. The goal of this FLA program, DARPA says, is to explore non-traditional perception and autonomy methods that could enable a new class of algorithms for minimalistic high-speed navigation in cluttered environments. So what they look for here is drones that can fly, well, indoors, as we were just talking in the last item, or in disaster areas where the buildings are unstable and crumbling, or in other kinds of environments where you don't know in advance just exactly what's there. So they're looking for these autonomous drones that can navigate through that kind of complex environment. And they also want them to be fast, though. This is an interesting aspect of this. They want these things to be able to fly up to 45 miles an hour, again, autonomously, with no communication links and no GPS guidance. So that's the ultimate goal. They've got a ways to go before they get that, but they're doing this in phases.
And phase one concluded last summer, which is obstacle course flight tests outside. Phase two is in Georgia, and they're demonstrating flight through tight indoor spaces, urban outdoor environments, and cluttered natural scenes. And a team of engineers from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology and Draper Laboratory reduced the number of onboard sensors to lighten the air vehicle for higher speed. And this was a quote from the John Howe. As the vehicle uses its sensors to quickly explore and navigate obstacles in unknown environments, it is continually creating a map as it explores and remembers any place it has been so it can return to the starting point by itself. Okay, creepy fast spy drones.
They're using neural nets, and this onboard computer recognizes certain kinds of objects like roads and buildings and cars and things. And it identifies those specific item types on the map. The map can actually be downloaded, and the humans as part of this team can use this after the mission has been completed. So again, though, we see kind of a link up between different organizations. Obviously, we have DARPA here, but we have MIT, the Draper Laboratory, working together, bringing to this research the specialties, the knowledge that they have. The MIT Draper team has actually incorporated the ability to sync the data collected by the air vehicle with an app. Everything goes to an app these days. The Android Tactical Assault Kit, ATAC, is the name of this app, which I guess this is something that's already deployed to military forces, but I'm not really that familiar with it, David.
Well, it would be, it's a communication app. And of course, DARPA likes spreading the wealth. So good old University of Pennsylvania has reduced their vehicle size and weight. And the algorithms that they're using for the FLA program are scheduled to transition to the Army Research Laboratory for further development for potential military applications. Of course, DARPA is, that's where it's supposed to go. But a lot of things that come out of DARPA end up back into the, for the common good, like a, quote, search and rescue team that can fly like a pro FPV racer. What do you think, Max?
Yeah, there's a video that we'll put right in the show notes. You can watch this video in the show notes from DARPA about this FLA Phase 2 flight testing. And there are some interesting comments that come out in this video. One is talking about first-person view racing, and they note that there are some really amazing racers out there. I'm talking about the operators, not the little quadcopters. And these guys have some amazing skills and ability to fly these things just screaming fast. The gentleman from DARPA was explaining that they'd really like to be able to create a capability where someone without that kind of ability, someone without that kind of training, someone who's not a pro FPV racer, could actually operate these things at speeds like that. So I think that's a really impressive goal. We'll see how close they come to that, but it's kind of interesting. And watch this video in the show notes. It really is kind of an amazing thing they're doing.
If it's not Airbus, it's Boeing. This is from UASvision.com. Boeing to establish new airspace and autonomy center. The Boeing Aerospace and Autonomy Center advances development of next-generation aircraft, enabling technologies that allow for safe, autonomous flight. So the Boeing 777X is going to fly autonomously. No. At least that would be the dream for Boeing.
Maybe.
And a nightmare for a lot of people.
Yeah, maybe. So Boeing notes that Aurora Flight Sciences, which of course we know that they purchased that and made that a subsidiary of Boeing. Aurora Flight Sciences is going to operate this facility. It's in Cambridge, Massachusetts. It's actually part of a larger building that's going to be used for some other purposes. But Aurora Flight Sciences will operate the facility in 100,000 square feet of this new building. So it's a pretty sizable endeavor. It's going to be in Kendall Square. It's supposed to open in 2020, and when it does open, both Boeing and Aurora engineers will be moving into that space.
And last month, or just a couple weeks ago, at Farnborough, Boeing announced it's collaborating with artificial intelligence company Spark Cognition to deliver unmanned aircraft systems and UTM traffic management systems. So Boeing is putting its tentacles into all aspects of unmanned aerial flight.
That's right. It's another link up here, David. Spark Cognition, being an AI company, is going to help Boeing to track unmanned aircraft using artificial intelligence and blockchain technologies, probably two of the biggest buzzwords out there these days. And then using that, the idea is they'll allocate traffic corridors and routes. They also say that they'll, quote, provide a standardized programming interface to support package delivery, industrial inspection, and other commercial applications. Wonder if that means open source or if that means a Boeing product that others will be able to purchase.
Boeing is standing up a new organization, NEXT, or NEXT, and it's the NEXT computer, which was launched back in 1988 for $6,500, but NEXT is spelled N-E capital X-T.
Yeah, and the computer was spelled N-E capital X capital T. So, yeah, when I saw Boeing NEXT, it immediately made me think of the next computer back in the 80s, that extremely expensive high-tech computer that was kind of envisioned as something that was going to change the world. Of course, there is no next computer anymore. Hopefully, Boeing's next strategy will have a little bit more success and a little bit more longevity to it.
So we've talked about airframers going into drones. How about engine companies going into drones? Though I admit this is probably a painful topic for you to discuss, or Pratt & Whitney boy. But this is from GEAviation.com. It's a press release. GE Aviation signs agreement for future system studies with Kukumin University in Seoul, Korea.
Kukmin University, yeah, the two have signed a memorandum of understanding. And so, yet again, a couple of organizations coming together. And under this MOU, they're going to study various future systems, procedures, and possible uses for UAVs. Now, Kukmin University, don't know a lot about it, but we do know that they established just this year, in April 2018, they established the Defense UAS Research and Development Center. So clearly they've got some activities going on there that GE Aviation thinks they can benefit from this collaboration.
And it's the avionics systems. GE Aviation is is large. It's not just engines. I was just teasing my co-host, but in this case, it's the avionics systems. And Alan Kaslovatka? No, Kaslovatka.
Now you got me doing it. Kaslovka.
Kaslovka. Welcome to Pronunciation on the UAV Digest. Between tech companies and Eastern European names, we're in trouble.
You know, I pick these things to make you stumble. You know that, right?
Of course you did.
No, I don't. Really, I don't.
Yeah, you do. This collaboration builds upon our experience with Kukkonen University in aviation and recent indigenous new UAV testing in South Korea. Our ongoing work with Kukkonen will help validate various technologies as we work globally to accelerate safe unmanned systems. And you know what's really bad about that statement, Max? And I'll tell you something funny, and our listeners will probably think I'm nuts. There's an old school song that says, "Kookaburra sits on the old gum tree." I kept trying not to say Kookaburra when I was trying to say Kukkonen. So I did well. I think I survived on that. Maybe I need to go surfing. What do you think?
Yeah, surfing. We've got all these big companies, universities, DARPA, all of this pretty heavy stuff that we've been talking about so far. But maybe if we look something a little bit lighter, maybe something a little bit wetter, David?
I'm game. Surf's up. From surfertoday.com, another one of those websites that you never would have expected us to be talking about. How to shoot surfing with a drone. Surfer Today has tips and techniques for creating videos of surfers with drones. They talk about selecting the right drone, drone settings and where to film from, drone altitude and flying techniques and best angles. And they finished the article with a video, which is our video of the week.
That's right. This is called Koa Smith Skeleton Bay 2018. One wave, eight barrels. And so we have this surfer here, Koa Smith, and he's, I don't know the surfing lingo, David, so I'm going to, you know, I'll just use my own kind of terminology, but he's got the tube going, and it just kind of keeps going and going and going and going, and this drone is capturing it all on video. It follows him along. I think this run that he made was a kilometer and a half. So, I mean, I was starting to worry that the drone was going to leave range of the operator, but it didn't. And he's got over 2 minutes of him, you know, shooting these barrels, I guess.
Curls.
Yeah, it's really spectacular stuff, especially if, you know, a guy like me who barely ever gets to the ocean and certainly never sees surf that, you know, looks like that. It's very impressive, but it's just sort of a different type of drone video. And some of the advice that they give makes a whole lot of sense. And I found some of that actually kind of interesting. So some good tips if you're interested in creating your own spectacular drone videos of folks surfing. It's a good resource, I think.
And you're not bored.
Yeah, yeah.
But surfboard.
Yeah, I got it. I was trying to decide how I wanted to react. So instead, I'll say that we have a new sponsor, and that's Corporate Service Supply and Manufacturing. So we should just mention them really quickly. They're a DJI Enterprise dealer, and so they provide DJI equipment and support mostly for commercial and public sector users, things like law enforcement and construction, public safety, groups like that. So you can check them out. We made it easy to remember the link. Just visit the uavdigest.com/CSS, Corporate Service Supply. And we want to thank them for their support of the UAV Digest.
Fantastic. And we're looking forward to working with them. If you want to help us, go visit Corporate Service Supply because they're helping us. So we want to help them. And if you want to help us, you can visit them and maybe get your new corporation's UAS. So with that, Max, my lights are flickering again. I think it's time to call it an evening.
All right. We want to thank you for listening to the UAV Digest. This has been episode 254. You can find us at the UAVDigest.com. There you'll find show notes for all the episodes with videos right in there, links to the companies that we mentioned in the episode. Check all that out at the show notes. And if you want to go right to the show notes for this episode, they're at the UAVDigest.com/254.
And of course, you can find us on Twitter at UAV Digest. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/UAV Digest. And you can become part of our Slack listener team, where our high profile listeners and power listeners, and where you can get more news and insights into the drone world in a kind of clubbish atmosphere that only certain people are allowed to come in.
Including us.
Including us.
Yeah, you'll find us there too.
If you want to knock on the door, and I will slide, you can do it by knocking on an email at theuavdigest.com or feedback@theuavdigest.com. And we'll send you the top secret password, and you can get in and join all the fun and conversations and have a great time. And another way you can help us besides visiting with our sponsor is you can leave us feedback on whatever podcasting utility you use or service, either that being iTunes or Stitcher.com or Google Podcasts. And you can purchase some swag at our Cafe Press store. So I guess with that, I'm going to say this is David Vanderhoof in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania. I'm turning the lights out.
In Max Flight in Hartford, Connecticut.
Thank you for listening and see you next week.